Church Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you.
Well, we trust that you have a great day today and that you're enjoying this excellent weather. I could tolerate this all year long, but we know that we have to go through the process of adjusting as the seasons come about. So it is in life, as it is in the spirit realm and in the natural, when it comes to adjusting to the seasons. Wouldn't you agree with me, Lady Kim?
Absolutely.
And sometimes we have different seasons in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and many times we end up missing out on what we need to do in order to be complete in that season. You got a lot going on right there. I was just trying to help you, but I don't know what season in your spiritual walk you might be in, but what would you say this season that we're in now is?
Well, it's still summer, but it feels like fall.
Okay. Well, that's a good segue, because, you know, even though it's still summer, it feels like fall, and so it is in our spiritual walk. Many times we think that we're in the summer of our lives and in terms of our development and our growth, but it feels like a different season.
Okay.
Because we have not fully maximized everything that is attached to that particular season. And so we have to make sure that we make the necessary adjustments in order that we might be able to be successful in whatever season it is. And then the preparation that precedes the season is critical, because sometimes people will wait until the last minute to decide to make those adjustments. And so it is even in our spiritual walk. Many times we wait till we're in the middle of something that we could have planned for, and it would have been a much better outcome had we made preparations on the front end.
Okay.
All right. I don't know where all that's leading, but I just thought I'd share that. That might be for somebody tonight.
Sure it
that
is.
Might be a blessing. That might even be for the house here tonight, because we have to continue to be prepared for what God has in store, because if not, we'll end up missing out, because we'll be trying to get ready when we should already be ready for what God is yet trying to get done.
Amen. So you got to stay ready so you'll be ready
right.
when
That's
the
right.
time
you
comes.
You can't go get no oil. You got to
have your oil ready.
That's right. You got to have it ready, and you got to be ready. And so it is when we prepare for the coming of the Lord. He's coming back.
Yes, he
and
is.
He's already promised that. And some of us are going to wait till the ninth hour or the last minute to try to get our house in order. But if the house is already in order,
don't have to get
then, even if you are not ready for him to come by making arrangements or whatever, you know that your spiritual house is ready to receive him when he comes.
Amen.
I feel like that's got something on it there, Reverend. But, you know, we talk a lot about the blessings that we want to receive and how many times we want to get everything we can in this life, but never make preparations for the life that's coming after this.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay.
We have to prepare now for what's to come.
Okay.
So, you know, even in our spirit, in the spirit realm, you know, you talked about it, the natural realm, but even in the spirit realm, we have to prepare our hearts and minds for what is to come on the other side.
That's right. On the other side.
Yeah.
And I guess it was one of those little, you can put it on a mantle or you can put it on your desk. You know how they have the little sayings that you place on your desk. One that I remember back a while ago, it says, working for the Lord doesn't pay very much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. You know what that means?
Absolutely.
Tell me what,
on this side.
Huh? Go ahead.
That, you know, well, I don't know if I agree with this. Working for the Lord doesn't pay very much. I guess they meant monetarily, you know. For some people, that might be true. For others, it might not be.
Okay.
But the retirement plan, I guess they're saying that we'll have a much greater reward on the other side.
Because really, a lot of people kind of take that as being, when they start thinking about the monetary value in terms of working for the Lord, because you shouldn't be in it for the money. You should be in it for using your gifts, using your skill, doing what you can with what God has blessed you with. And the retirement plan, of course, is what comes after this. I mean, there's a much greater reward that we can expect and anticipate on the other side. And so the value of how we deal with this life is key in terms of how we're going to adjust when we go to the next life.
Amen. So we have to do what we can while we can for the Lord, you know, and even in this life, God blesses us and gives us what we need.
That's right.
In order to make it.
Absolutely.
So, we're rewarded on this side, but we have an even greater reward.
That's right. That's right. Eyes haven't seen.
Yes.
And so great things are yet in store. Well, let's say a prayer. We got a lot of ground we're going to try to cover tonight. We're in the third chapter of Numbers. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight as we prepare. Lady Kim and I were just conversing about the seasons, and we went all the way into a whole nother realm of talking about what happens in the afterlife. That might be a good study right there. Mm-hmm. But I've never been there, and I don't know. I can't go too deep in that, but I can tell you what the word of the Lord says.
Amen.
About what happens. And, you know, it's amazing, even before we have prayer, how so many people, Christians and believers, and I don't know about everybody else. I can't question nobody's salvation, have left this earth. You know, they have died. And where they're going to spend eternity is based upon the decisions that they made before that happened.
Amen.
And, you know, you never can tell when the Lord will call or when a situation will occur that something will happen. But you have to be ready. No man knoweth the hour or the time when the Lord shall appear, but we have to make sure that our house is in order.
Amen.
Isn't that
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay. So I praise God for those who I know for a fact had a relationship with God, and I understand clearly what the Bible says about them spending eternity with God. But let's have prayer. Let's have prayer. Lady Kim just took me down a rabbit hole there, and I don't know how we ended up all the way down there, but can we dig our way up out of there, you think?
You'll have to dig your way up out.
Okay, but you put me in there, but I'm about to dig.
Oh, okay, I put you in.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
You're not going to help me?
No, sir.
Get out?
No, sir.
All right. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we thank you for our lives, and we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word. Thank you that your word indeed is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we're humbled by the fact that you have continued to include us in what you're trying to get done in the earth realm. And we thank you now, God, for this opportunity together with other believers, even though we're virtual. God, we know that you can do something powerful in our midst. So we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. And we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Well, Lady Kim, give us just a recap of what you jotted down and how you interpreted what God was saying and doing in the worship experience on yesterday.
All right. Well, you had a part two and continued with what you had started on last week with your sermon topic, We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from Psalm, the 107th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and also verse number 22.
Okay.
And it talks about how we need to shout praises to the Lord because he's been good to us. And then it went on to say that we need everybody from the north, the south, the east, and the west need to come, you know. And we were lost, and we were thirsty, and we were in trouble. But how God rescued us. The Lord rescued us. Aren't you glad you're rescued today?
Absolutely.
And then he brought us out. He brought us into a town. And the Psalm says that we ought to praise God for it. And then that 22nd verse talks about how we should celebrate by offering sacrifices and singing joyful songs to tell what he has done.
Okay.
And so you had some points that you, I don't know if you got to the other points or not. I can't recall, but you had, he helped in our wandering. He healed our wounds, and he has heard our words. And so, I don't know. I was so excited about the service yesterday. My notes were kind of all over the place.
So but, you're saying I don't need to do a part three? Is that what you said?
I didn't say that. You said that.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to read through the lines and follow you. You said you didn't know if I got to my points or not.
I was saying because I was distracted and I was, Yes, I was.
What were you distracted by?
I was into the service, okay. Into the worship.
It was a high worship experience.
Yes, it was. And
God was moving, I tell you. And, you know, I know you got some notes that you took. But, yeah, it was an interesting service on yesterday. And we just went in a whole nother direction. But, you know, one of the things I've learned, and my good friend Dr. John Tunstall, he's on the call. He serves as a... I'm trying to see what would I call him. He serves as a sounding board, for me. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Boy, you know, you wise enough to know when to go ahead and close, you know." And so he, you know, the service was going so good. If I had continued to carry it longer, it would perhaps somebody would have missed what they had already received. Mm-hmm. But go ahead and finish sharing with us what. You heard of something that you were able to jot down.
Well, one thing I do know that's clear is that we're blessed because of our sacrifice.
Okay.
Whenever we make a sacrifice or go over and beyond, God rewards our sacrifice if we do it for the right reasons.
Okay.
If our heart is right.
Okay.
Towards God,
that's good.
Then He accepts that sacrifice and He blesses that sacrifice. You know, and God is there all the time. He wants us to keep our word to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we promise God something, then He wants us to keep our word to Him because He's definitely going to keep His word towards us. Our word is our bond.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Our bond is our contract. Mm-hmm. And our contract is to a contractual God, a covenant-keeping God. Amen.
Okay. And did you jot that down from yesterday?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I was trying to remember if I said that. That sounds like a fresh word right there.
No, you did not.
Okay. Our word is our bond. Mm-hmm. And our bond is what?
It's a covenant. It's a contract. It's really? Our contract. And uh-huh. Our contract is a covenant.
Wow.
And God makes covenant with us.
Okay.
You know, a contract is breakable. Mm-hmm. Well, it shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be. But people...
Loopholes and all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a covenant mm-hmm. is more of a relationship.
Okay.
And so when we have relationship, a covenant relationship with God, when we make sacrifices to do what God has called us to do, therewith we are blessed.
Mm,
and so we need
good.
To present our bodies as living sacrifices. The Bible says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, meaning that is the least that we can do, is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, doing everything that pleases God. When we bring the sacrifice of praise, we lift up holy hands, we can thank God for all He's done in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you said proper perspective produces a sacrifice of praise.
Wow.
So when we get our perspective or our focus right, I believe you did.
That sounds like it got something on it right there. what did you say?
A proper perspective produces a sacrifice of praise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And God has called us to live above and not beneath our circumstances. So when we trust God where we are,
mm-hmm.
and we give Him the sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips, God is pleased with that. And so when we have proper perspective, or when we look at all that we're going through as a means to an end where God wants us to be, then it produces praise because we know what has happened in the past, even if we're going through difficulties. We know what happened in the past. And so we can praise God right now for what He's going to do because we know the end, in the end we win.
Wow, that's good. Go ahead, Lady Kim. I'm enjoying this. That's a good word. I'm telling you, somebody's being blessed tonight because, you know, when we put things in order, when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when we understand that we have to honor God, and we think about all that He's done, that's putting everything in proper perspective. And it automatically produces praise. And you can praise your way out. You don't have to wait until you get out before you give God praise. But you can start praising Him even in the midst of your trials and tribulations, even in the midst of uncertainty. And sometimes we feel as if we have to have money in our pockets, or we have to be feeling good. We have to be, everything has to be okay before we give God praise.
Right.
And but no, you don't have to wait, because many times the enemy will try to sabotage your praise and hinder you presenting that sacrifice of praise, because he'll tell you, you ought not do that. You know, don't embarrass yourself. Don't do it. Don't be clapping your hands. You know, don't be getting excited. But you can't help but get excited about what I put it this way. I can't help but get excited about what the Lord has done for me. All of us have a faith file that we can pull when we think about the goodness of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what produces that sacrifice of praise. When we look back in the rearview mirror and we see how far the Lord has brought us, and we have witnesses on the call tonight who know that it was nobody but God. You may have had money in the bank. You may be driving a fine car, living even in a gated community. But you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your friends didn't do it, that your money was not able to do what you needed to be done. But it was nobody but God who brought you out.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, when we do it God's way, then we win, you know. So we have to keep in mind that whenever we go through trials and tribulations, God is trying to get something done in us,
mm-hmm.
and through us.
Okay.
And with us.
Okay.
You know, He doesn't allow us to go through things alone. He's always with us. So whenever God is taking us through challenging times, I dare you to give God praise.
That's right.
Because sometimes when you praise God in the midst of your circumstances, something breaks in the spirit realm, in the atmosphere.
That's good.
Even in challenging times, we need to give God praise, because God is due all of our praise. And just like you said, checking that faith file, you know, going back in our mind and thinking about how good God has been all of our lives, not just some of our lives, but all of our lives, then we can see that God has been gracious and kind and merciful towards us. And so we can't help but to give God praise for what He's done in our lives.
That's good. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you tonight. And that's a powerful word, and that's a powerful reminder about the sacrifice that we have to present to God. But know, as we indicated the past couple of Sundays, that your sacrifice is not gone unnoticed by God. And people make tremendous sacrifices, you know? And but when we put it in proper perspective and we understand the spiritual sacrifices that we're making to God, and honoring Him and keeping our word, God says that's what makes me smile. That's what I'm pleased with. When you honor me and when you do what you said you would do, and you stay true to that word and stay true to what God is saying, and live your life in a way that brings glory and honor to Him, He says that's what, and give me thanks. He said when you thank me for it, He said that's what I want.
Amen. Sister Vicky has a powerful testimony on the in the chat. She said yesterday was so powerful for her She said, all I could do was cry in service. I kept saying, thank you, Lord. I didn't know what was happening. How about today he blessed her with a new job? Hallelujah. God, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
Sister Vicky,
glory.
I want to see you giving God praise Sunday. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I'm going to be praising it
new
with
job.
You.
New job.
Hallelujah. Glory. You know, sometimes you can praise God just like you said, Sister Vicky. You don't know why you're giving him, why
That's
you
right.
praising so hard, or why you... A spirit of a good cry comes up in your spirit.
Yeah.
Not
That's
because
right.
you're sad, because you're glad, you're happy for all the things that God has done in your life. And then you turn around and bam, God blesses you, blesses your
God.
Socks off
That's
even
right.
the more. What a great God we
Mighty
serve.
God.
Hallelujah.
God.
Look at God. Look at God.
That just opens the window for others
you,
to
Jesus.
See and know
Hallelujah.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt. That if he did it for Vicky, guess what?
He'll do it for us.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right. That's right.
Yes,
so
Lord.
So we have to continue to trust him even when we can't trace him.
Yes, Lord.
And we got to believe that he's going to come and see about us, because he's not like man that he should lie. His promises are sure.
Amen.
And his satisfaction is guaranteed. Come
yes,
on, let's
Lord.
Give God
Hallelujah.
Some hearts and
yes,
some thumbs
God.
Up right
Hallelujah.
There. And you're next in line
Hallelujah.
For your breakthrough, for your miracle. Yeah, and God wants you to know tonight that your sacrifice has not gone unnoticed by him.
Amen. And if he can do it for Sister Vicky, guess what?
He can do it for you.
He can do it for you. He can do it for me.
That's right.
Amen. And I stand on tiptoe in anticipation of what God is going to do in my life. I know sometimes I made some great sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I anticipate from day to day and look forward to what God is going to do in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory God. All right. Well, we praise God for each of you on the call tonight, and we're certainly excited about the testimony that we've already heard.
Yes.
And we know there are others out there whom the Lord is making ways for and opening doors for, whom he's blessing and providing for. And when he does that, you go ahead and acknowledge it, and don't be ashamed to give him praise. Offer him a sacrifice of praise. And we speak against the attack of the enemy right now that's going to try to come in and hinder and prevent us from offering a sacrifice of praise. I praise God for how he continues to bless, because we release in the atmosphere what he requires of us, and we're not ashamed of the gospel. The Bible said, if you don't praise me, if you don't open your mouth and magnify my name, he says, I've got some rocks somewhere that'll cry out. Isn't
yes,
that what your Bible said?
Yes.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for me. Come on, somebody help me tonight, because you ought not let rocks cry out for you. God said he's going to get his praise now.
Yes, he is.
And so you might as well just be the instrument and the vessel that he's going to use in order for somebody else to get excited about what God has done for you and what he can do for them.
Yes.
Isn't that right, Lady
That's
Kim?
That's right.
All right. Well, we praise God. We went a little longer than we had anticipated, but we're so grateful for the whole series around sacrifice and talking about what God requires of us and how important that is for believers even today. We're in the third chapter of Numbers. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move through this particular chapter tonight. How many verses do we have? That's quite a few verses. 51 verses.
Mm-hmm.
But Lady Kim, you normally give us a little recap and kind of help outline this whole process as we prepare, because we're going to see, and you have been talking about the Levites and their role and responsibility, and some of that is coming out here in this third chapter, and really distinguishing this tribe and giving them some particular assignment as well as roles that they're going to play. Is that right?
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about what's happening here in this third chapter.
Well, just to recap, you know, some of the characters. Again, the characters in this third chapter, we talk about Moses, you know, who was selected to lead the Israelites to Canaan, and how God spoke directly to Moses. And Moses communicated God's word back to the people, back to the Israelites. And then the other character is Moses' brother Aaron. Mm-hmm. And Aaron was a Levite, and okay. he was a high priest over the nation of Israel. And we know that all priests came out of the tribe of Levi, but not all Levites were priests.
Okay.
You know, all the high priests and all the priests came out of the tribe of Levi, but not every Levite was a priest or a high priest. But they had responsibilities for taking care of the temple, mm-hmm. Taking care of the tent of meeting, taking care of the utensils, taking care of everything when they packed up and went from place to place in the desert. And remember, they went around and around, wandered in the wilderness. You talked about that wandering.
That's right.
Wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years for a trip that should have taken only 11 days. And they wandered in the wilderness because of their disobedience.
Wow.
And you know, when I thought about that, I said, how long have some of us wandered? How long have some of us been out there in our wilderness simply because we chose to disobey God?
Wow.
Now, if we're obedient to God, God is going to get us to where we need to be a lot quicker. So that could be a lesson for us also in this chapter. And then lastly, the characters in this chapter are the Levites, of course, the family of the Levites. It's going to talk about Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. I guess that's how you say it. I'm not a wordsmith, but and again, Numbers is situated. The events start in the second month and in the second year after the Israelites left Egypt. And then the book of Numbers covers approximately 40 years of the Israelites' history, whereas, you know, Leviticus covered only a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between the last book that we studied and the book of Numbers. Numbers covers almost 40 years of the Israelites' history or their experience. And according to Leviticus and Numbers, this very first verse is going to tell us that the Israelites were camped in the wilderness of Sinai, near Mount Sinai. And so that's where all these activities are going to take place. So it's broken down into several sections. Verses 1 through 4 talk about Aaron and his sons. Verses 5 through 13 talk about the Levites and how they're dedicated to God, their dedication to God. Verses 14 through 39, which is the bulk of the chapter, the Levite families and their responsibilities. And then verses 40 through 51 talk about the Levites redeem the firstborn males of Israel. And so that's how it's broken down.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So we're in the third chapter of Numbers, and Lady Kim just gave us a recap of what to expect. We're not going to be able to read all of this tonight, but we want to make sure that you get clarity in terms of what is happening here, because God is really outlining some of the roles and responsibilities for the Levites. And I think that's the primary emphasis that we're going to see here in this particular chapter. And it's very interesting how you talk about their responsibility. And how even though when they did the census in the last chapter for the military might of the Israelites, they did not even count the tribe of Levi, because they were had basic responsibilities primarily to secure and to guard and to watch and to set up and to break down and to carry the tent and make sure that everything was in place. They had rotations in terms of them being responsible for what was needed. And so even though they were not counted as the military might, it's important for us to understand that they had an awesome spiritual responsibility that carried just as much weight as the responsibility for those who were in the battle.
Amen.
On the front line.
And even though they weren't counted as the military might, near the end of this third chapter, they are counted, but they're counted for a different reason.
That's right.
And we'll see that. It's going to come out near the end of this chapter.
Okay. Because we're going to also see the responsibility here that they have. And how many verses do you want to start out reading, Lady Kim? I know you've already mentioned those first few verses. You want to maybe read those first four verses, and then we'll see where we go from there. Because, you know, I'm of the opinion that each time we read the word and we try to make sense of it, we have to have application for what God is saying to us. Even though it's an Old Testament word, there's still application here as it relates to what he expects of us even today.
Absolutely. First four verses of Numbers, the third chapter. I'm reading from the Message Bible tonight. Verse 1, this is the family tree of Aaron and Moses at the time God spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. The names of Aaron's sons, Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, anointed priests ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu fell dead in the presence of God when they offered unauthorized sacrifice to him in the wilderness of Sinai. And they left no sons, and so only Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests during the lifetime of their father Aaron. And we know in Leviticus we read about them, his two sons, making unauthorized sacrifice,
right,
and
right.
How fire rained down and consumed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aaron really only had two sons that served as priests during his lifetime.
Okay.
And that was Eleazar and Ithamar that All served right. as priests under him.
Go ahead and read through verse 10 if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. God spoke to Moses. He said, bring forward the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron so they can help him. So they shall work for him and the whole congregation at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the dwelling. Their job is to be responsible for all the furnishings of the dwelling, ministering to the affairs of the dwelling as the people of Israel come to perform their duties. Turn the Levites over to Aaron and his sons. They are the ones assigned to work full time for him. Appoint Aaron and his sons to minister as priests. Anyone else who tries to elbow his way in will be put to death. God spoke to Moses. You said up to 10. That was 10.
Okay, go ahead. That was sounding good. Go ahead.
God spoke to Moses. I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel as a stand-in for every Israelite's mother's firstborn son.
Read that again.
I have taken the Levites from among the people of Israel as a stand-in for every Israelite mother's firstborn son.
Wow.
The Levites belong to me. All the firstborn are mine. When I killed all the firstborn in Egypt, I consecrated for my own use every firstborn in Israel, whether human or animal. They belong to me. I am God.
That's through what?
13.
Okay. You want to talk about some of that, or you want to continue to read?
I'll read through 16, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
God spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Count the Levites by their ancestral families and clans. Count every male 1 month old or older. Moses counted them just as he was instructed by the mouth of God.
Okay. So a lot going on there, but we see he's establishing roles and responsibilities, and we see the Levites being the primary focus here in the first part of this chapter. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And so he even talks about these firstborns and the redemption of the firstborns, and gets into the census and sharing a little bit about the responsibility of the Levites. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we
That's
have?
That's right. That's right.
And what do you, what else do you see there that's coming out of this first 16 verses?
Okay, so, you know, he describes Aaron and his sons and their service as priest and high priest, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. And then how he dedicates the Levites to God. The Levites were set apart from the other tribes and dedicated to the Lord's service as caretakers for the tabernacle and to assist Aaron. And God took the Levites and his servants in place of the firstborn of Israel, because when they left Egypt, remember, God spared the firstborn, right?
Right.
And he claimed the firstborn as his own unto himself, set them aside. But now God has declared that the firstborn of the Hebrews belong to him after he spared them from the 10th plague in Egypt. And that's going to be in, that's in Exodus, the 13th chapter, verse 2. And so it moves to the Levites' responsibilities after that, and how Moses was told to make a list of the families of the Levites. And we're going to talk about that when we move on from 16, how they divided the Levites into three different groups.
Okay. And part of this, I think, as it applies to us today, is that we have to understand God has given us specific assignments, and he's also given us roles and responsibilities in the body of Christ, and how we have to acknowledge the role and the assignment that he has placed upon us, and not get over in somebody else's lane and start doing things that, you know, that's one of the areas that really kind of causes a delay in what God is trying to do. When we operate outside of our calling and outside of our giftedness. And so I think that's part of what we see here, because just as God established these tasks for the Levites, each of us as believers today have unique callings and unique gifts that we need to embrace in order to be effective in the service and in the ministry that he's placed us in.
Absolutely.
And so we ought not try to operate outside of what we know that God has called us to do, because many times when that happens, it slows down the process, and you are operating in an area that's really probably hindering the ministry or the group from moving forward effectively in order to achieve the purposes that God has established for the house.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And you know, God is a strategic God.
That's right.
God is a God of order, and whether we realize it or not, he's a God of planning. You know, mm-hmm. he plans out and orders our steps. And we see that God strategically, how he moves and how he creates structure and order as the Israelites move from the wilderness towards their promised land of Canaan. And so, you know, he gives Moses specific instructions on how things are to be done, and Moses carries out his specific instructions.
Okay. So a word for us tonight is just to recognize our individual strengths that God has given us. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Yes.
And there are ways in which you can find out and understand your spiritual gifts and what you are good at and what you need to grow into. But usually when we do the gift inventory, it always gives you a clear signal about your strengths. And so you work from your, not from your weaknesses, but from your strengths.
Amen.
And position yourself in that. And then if you grow in that area and God decides that he wants to call you into another area, he's going to prepare you for that, just as he prepared you for the strengths that you already have, and help you develop those weaknesses that might show up in your area of calling and in your area of spiritual gifts.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. I look forward to God continuing to call me and you know, shape what he's called me to do. Sometimes, and I tell people this all the time, everybody wants to see the whole picture, and you know, but some our lives are like puzzle pieces.
That's right.
You know, one piece at a time is put into place. And so I like to tell people, sometimes it's not in the knowing, but in the going that God reveals himself to us.
That's good.
So if we're obedient, if we make the sacrifice and go the extra mile, God will begin to put those pieces in place. And you'll see that it's not just a jumbled up pieces lying all around, but it's a puzzle, a beautiful puzzle, a painting that's being put together to make a beautiful portrait.
Okay. And so I think 1 Corinthians, that 12th chapter, really kind of gives you some idea of some of the spiritual gifts and how important that is for us to recognize the area in which God has called us, and then for us to embrace our spiritual leadership and not shy away from it. Some people shy away from it. Others will go all in to try to develop and mature in their calling, and some just sit by and wait. But you know, each gift is important. Each gift is necessary. And the body is not going to really, that's what 1 Corinthians 12 is all about. It's not really going to function the way it should until all of the pieces, all of the, like you said, the puzzle pieces are in place and doing what they're supposed to do.
Amen.
So we really can't be all that God has called us to be until you decide you're going to be all who God has called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you heard in the whole church when you just lay back and you know God has called you and you won't offer that sacrifice in order to fully invest yourself into terms of your growth and your development. And when you do that, the whole church is strengthened as a result. But when you lay back, you're hurting the whole church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't be all that God has called me to be if I don't continue to pursue the things of God. And that's what Lady Kim is saying in terms of where God is calling her. I was talking to a group last week, I believe it was, and I was sharing with them about how there's something that dies in us when we decide that we're not going to accept the challenge, we're not going to pursue going forward, we're going to be satisfied with where we are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to learn anymore. We don't want to grow anymore. Something dies in us. But when we continue to, as long as God gives us breath, as long as God gives us the eyesight and the ability to continue to pursue and to learn and to grow, there's so much more on the other side. I mean, we've all grown a lot, but God said, there's so much more that I have for you. And so we can't stop. We can't give up. We can't quit. We can't throw in the towel. We can't say I'm tired. No. When you do that, something's going to die in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to hurt not only you, but it's going to hurt the whole church because you decided to give up and not continue to invest in what God has blessed you with.
Amen. I was smiling because I remember something my daddy used to say all the time. He used to say, what you don't know will make a whole nother world.
That's right.
So we
That's
have to good. Continue to pursue learning and excellence and pursue God to find out what it is he wants us to do, because there's a whole lot more in store for us. We just have to go for it.
Wow. That's the gospel according to Leon.
Yes.
So. Leon.
A whole nother world.
That's
you don't even know about.
That's right.
What you don't know.
Yeah.
What we don't know could make a whole nother world.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to continue to press toward the mark. We got to continue to push. We can't give up. We can't sit down and rest and be at ease in Zion. And, you know, that kind of spirit, it can be contagious. But, you know, and people will start relaxing, you know. And so I'm not like that. And when y'all see me in that mode, you know that it's time for me to move over to the side and get out of the way. But I praise God that I wake up with energy and with ideas and with vision and with direction, and through my prayer life that he's yet speaking to me. And I continue to read and continue to feed my spirit, the spirit man, and continue to seek God's face in terms of how we can push forward. And I don't want to settle. I don't want to be that kind of person, but I want to be a person of vision and a person of faith and trusting God even when I can't trace him, and moving out when other people might not even see it. But when God gives us a word, we trust that word and we move forward.
Amen.
All right, Reverend.
Yes. Well, you know, we need to move on. We're in the third chapter of Numbers, and verses 14 through 49 are the bulk of this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the Levites' families and their responsibilities. So Moses was told to make a list of the families of the Levites. And the families of the Levites were divided into three groups.
Okay.
The Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the family of, I guess it's Merari. Let's say Murray.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Murray.
I think it's Merari. The family of Merari. Goshenites, Kohathites, and Merarites. Now, the family of Gershon, they had 7,500 males. And they were to camp behind the tabernacle on its west side. And they were responsible for caring for the coverings of the tabernacle and the hangings around the courtyard.
Okay.
So, you know, they broke up these Levites. There were a bunch of them. And they all had different responsibilities. And so this was the family of Gershon. Remember, they're called the Gershonites. All right. 7,500 males and what they were responsible for. The second group of Kohath, 8,600 males, was to camp on the south side of the tabernacle, and they were responsible for the Ark of the Covenant, the gold table, the lampstand, the altars, and all of the vessels of the sanctuary, so all of the holy things in the tent of meeting or the tabernacle were the family of Kohath's responsibility. And the family of Merari was 6,000. They were the smallest group, 6,200 males, and was to camp on the north side of the tabernacle, and they were to care for the frames, which were the walls, the bars, the pillars, and the bases of the tabernacle. And Moses and Aaron were to camp on the tabernacle's east side. So they were protected on three sides, and Moses and Aaron stayed on that, the east side. All right. So that kind of sums up verses 14 through 39. And it talks about how they were divided. And remember, we talk about males from the age of 1 month and up.
Okay. That's very strategic there in terms of how everything is falling in line based upon what we said earlier about roles and responsibilities and how we have to embrace that which God has assigned for us to do,
mm-hmm.
and stay in our lanes. You follow me?
Yes.
Because many times when, just think what would have happened had these Levites decided that they didn't want to do what they had been assigned to do.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a lack in the camp. It would have been a deficit in terms of them getting to where they needed to be, and the responsibility would have been of such that they would not have fulfilled the completeness of the assignment that God had given them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to make it relevant to even us today, because that same thing is true even when it comes to our assignment and our responsibility. And we have to reflect on how important that is in order for us to make the kind of contribution that will push us forward and not allow us to stand stagnant or be in a standstill mode and not relapse back into the ways we used to be. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's key and that's critical. And I think it was a part of what God was trying to signal here to the children of Israel, and particularly this tribe of Levi, because he's really zeroing in, and they're being consecrated as well as dedicated for a particular role in a particular task.
Mm-hmm. And so we are too.
That's
right.
We're
consecrated and we're dedicated, set apart. You know, when I was growing up, you know, they said, we used to say we're going around to the sanctified church.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought sanctified was just assigned to that particular
group
and denomination, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became saved and understood that sanctified simply means set apart.
That's right.
So
that's
our
right.
Sanctification, our set apartness, amen, for God's work is what is most important. And so we are to sanctify or set aside or set apart our lives for kingdom building.
Okay, okay. Well, the time is getting away from us, Lady Kim. I know there's a whole lot more in this chapter that you stopped around verse 41 in terms of your explanation. And there are how many verses about?
About 11 more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have a recap you can kind of tie around those 11 more verses to kind of help us bring closure to this chapter?
Well, you know, it just talks about how God redeemed those firstborn males. And we talked about that as previously mentioned, you know, God took the Levites as his servants in exchange for the firstborn males of Israel. And so there were 22,273 firstborn males in Israel, and 22,000 Levite men.
Come on,
and
so, a little bit so they can see you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want you to be.
I forget what I was saying. I think I was talking about the count, the count of men,
right.
That there were about, there were 22,273 firstborn males in Israel. Firstborn, that don't mean second, third, fourth, fifth. You know, they had a lot of children back then.
That's right. That didn't include the women and children.
Right. No. And then there were the women and the girls other males that were born. We're just talking about the firstborn males in Israel. And there were 22,000 Levite men. So we're just talking about the men of Levi. And so they had to collect a redemption price. 5 shekels were collected for the price of the 273 extra men.
What?
So I didn't look into why they collected that, but I'm going to look into that next week. You know, that's where I stopped at
okay.
This week.
You have to put a pin there and make sure we cover that when we come on next week.
Okay, I gave you that assignment.
No, you already said that's what you were going to do.
23.
That's what the Lord told you. 273
extra men why they had to put that
tax.
Or it wasn't a tax, but they had to put, they paid into a treasury or something.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see.
All right. All right. Well, that's the third chapter of Numbers, and we're moving right through. We're going to be in Numbers for a while, and so we want to encourage you to go ahead and read ahead, and then we'll bring clarity to it, even if we don't get a chance to read all of the verses. But we want to make sure that we keep it relevant and that we find something, even in the Old Testament, how it applies to us today, and part of what we learned as a result of us using our gifts that God has concentrated us as well, just as he did for the tribes of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, and Levi. The tribe of Levi was really the emphasis tonight in terms of giving clarity to their responsibility and the census that was taken, and also understanding how each of our callings and each of our responsibilities are unique in and of themselves. I can't do what you do, and you can't do what I do. You be the very best version of who God has created you to be, and use your gifts and your talents to the glory of God. And I think that's what brings about wholeness and collectiveness in the body of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. So this past week was a week of many bereavements that we had in the life of ATOP as it related to family members of some of our members. And we were been lifting them up and praying. And I know that many of us have various requests that we perhaps want to mention, or concerns that you want to be prayed for. We want to encourage you to go ahead and jot those down now. We're going to ask Lady Kim to close us out with a word of prayer. But we believe in the power of prayer. We know that prayer changes things. And not only that, but God will change the person to prepare them for the changes that he's about to make. And so many times when we feel as if our prayers are not going through or getting through, God is sometimes trying to do something in us to get us ready for what he has already prepared for us as a result of the answer to our prayers.
Amen. We want to lift up, of course, this week, the family, the Williams family, Brother Henry Williams, in the loss of his brother, Frank Williams. That funeral will be Saturday at New Hope Baptist Church in West Memphis, Arkansas. And that is also the uncle of Sister Lavonia Jones. So we want to pray for the Williams and Jones family, very active family at ATOP, in the loss of Brother Henry's brother. Then this coming weekend, we have a couple of exciting things. This coming Sunday is National Back to Church Sunday.
That's right. That's
so we want to invite you to invite at least four people out to service on Sunday. You know, there may be some people who haven't been in a while. Some people haven't been since COVID. You know, invite them to come to church. Tell them you'll come by and pick them up and bring them on this coming Sunday. Let's pack ATOP out on National Back to Church Sunday. And then following our service, our children, youth, and young adult ministry, we call it Chayaya Ministry, Children, Youth, and Young Adult Ministry, we will have an open house called Students Recharged. Student Ministry Recharged, and they're going to, there's a time for you to meet our new Chayaya director and youth advisors, and also our student advisors, and it's just going to be a great time.
Adult advisors. That's yeah. All in the same breath
yes.
of that.
Youth advisors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And so they're going to have some interesting things set up for you to look at and observe, and just stop by for a few minutes after service. They're going to serve some refreshments also. So stop by in the education building.
Okay.
It's going to be an educational building. So, yeah, they're getting charged up, recharged, and how we're going to be a gospel-advancing youth and young adult ministry.
Wow.
How we're going to talk about how our young people can evangelize their friends, because that's what it's all about, evangelism.
Okay.
So, yes, don't forget to invite four or five people out to service on Sunday, and then go over to the education building and see what the Children, Youth, and Young Adult Ministry Recharged is all about.
Sounds good. All right, Reverend, will you go ahead and then close us out with a word of prayer?
Sure. God, we love you, we bless you, and we honor you today, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We lift up to you the Williams family and the loss of that loved one, oh God. God, we pray for Sister Inez Otay, God, who was rushed to the emergency room this evening. We ask that you would just touch her and be with her, oh God, and regulate her heart and her condition, God. We pray for Sister Erin, God, as she's away from her mother and she's concerned about her mother. But God, we ask that you would give her the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes, God.
And that you would regulate Sister Inez's heart. We thank you for healing her, and we thank you for surrounding her with the people that she needs in order to recover well. And God, anybody else that's on our sick and shut-in list, we thank you for Sister Shirley Williams and her recovery. We thank you for Sister Lena Jackson and her recovery. We thank you for all those that are on our sick and shut-in list. We lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow. We lift up Brother Charles Reynolds. We lift up Brother Thomas Doggett. We lift up all the others that are on our sick and shut-in list. You know their names, God. I know I'm neglecting a lot of people, God, but you know them one by one, oh God. We ask that you would lift up all the bereaved families, God. There were so many on last week, God. We had the Dr. Butler and her family. We had Theron C. and her family. We had LaShundria Kimmons and her family. We had Brother George Shoulders and his family, Sister Jessie Bradley and her family, Sister Dorothea Robertson and her family. God, we had so many, and we ask, oh God, that you would look on them all, God, because they all need you. And we ask, God, that you would continue to lead us and guide us and bless us as we go through the remainder of this week. We pray for the upcoming election, oh God. We pray for the debate on tomorrow. Allow us to get some clarity on the issues, oh God, and not the backbiting and name-calling and finger-pointing, oh God. Oh God, we ask that you would just stay the hand of the enemy that's going to try to raise this ugly head. And we thank you tonight, God, that we're going to understand the issues and the candidates are going to clarify their stance on the issues, God. And we ask, oh God, that we be a force in our community, God, and raise up like a mighty army and get out to vote. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for all those who are going to hear this Bible study by playback. We lift up our pastor to you, God. Continue to crown his head with wisdom and glory, oh God. And we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, hope you have a rest of the evening, an enjoyable time. And we look to see you real soon.
Amen. Good night, everybody.